God made you.
Wow.
Woohoo! What an awesome way to start a new worship series with a little bit of wow, God. You know, I recently read an article, though, to sort of bring us, center us, why that is so important, about a new TV show that is aimed at our nation's teenagers. It's called 13 Reasons Why. It was released at the end of March, and it's based on a best-selling young adult novel that depicts a teenager who has killed herself. Now, when you read the reviews of the show and the concerns of parents and educators and why it's good and why it's not so good, it's really quite an interesting conversation. But this young woman experienced sexual assault, cyberbullying, some inadequate responses from adults in the midst of that. And so the premise of the show is that she leaves messages for the classmates and others whom she holds responsible for her suicide. And then on top of that, I remembered about 4 years ago, Christians from all flavors of denominations mourned with Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church when his son committed suicide, and that was emblazoned on headlines all across our country. And some of our students here at Desert Skies have experienced the suicides of many classmates, several classmates, during this past school year. So I found it intriguing to know that suicides now outnumber homicides in the United States, and they are most common among the young and the old. Friendlessness leads to loneliness, which leads often to depression, which can then lead to, if not suicide itself, thoughts of suicide. So clearly, it's having friends that can be life-saving. And that makes the work of Christian hospitality more important than ever. Making the church a more welcoming place is not only about serving better coffee on the patio or coming up with an improved system for identifying and welcoming our visitors. Instead, being joyful community, which we have emblazoned across our doorway when you're coming into the sanctuary, is about connecting people to a community of faith in a deep and meaningful way. Because when people become part of a church, they begin to develop relationships. Their number of confidants begins to increase. Their loneliness is replaced by friendship, and they do not feel quite so isolated. They make connections with people in ways that perhaps they have not experienced before, and then they post it on Facebook. Amen? And they begin to see themselves as children of God, made in God's image and part of beloved community. And as we celebrate the birthday of the church at Pentecost this year, I hope that we begin to see that Pentecost is more than a one-day spectacular event where tongues of fire erupt and the Holy Spirit descends in cinematic splendor. Because the birth of the church and the coming of the Spirit brought meaning to life in new ways and opened up new channels of being in relationship with God and with others. And those channels are, I believe, a matter of life and death given the world in which we live today. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we are those channels. You know, it's fascinating the way that the Holy Spirit was revealed in such a marvelous way to the church at that first Pentecost, and we are carriers of those very same gifts. So we take heed to the words of Paul, who begins chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians by saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, my brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." So, in Paul's sort of way of saying things, brothers and sisters of Desert Skies United Methodist Church, I do not want you to be uninformed about the gifts of the Spirit, for they are the key to relationships in and outside of the family of faith. Now, by all accounts, when we read this letter of Paul to the Corinthians, this group of people had a full measure of the Spirit's power. They were prophesying, speaking in tongues. They had interpretation of tongues. They were wise and full of knowledge. The Corinthians had all of those gifts and more. And yet, surprise, surprise, they were the church. They had conflict and immorality and thoughtless disregard for one another. So how is it that they could discern whether they had a gift of the Spirit or some sort of prideful, self-indulgent activity that made them feel good or important at the time? Throughout this chapter and the next, Paul teaches on the topic of how to discern God's work in the activation of various gifts and how to value one's brothers and sisters in Christ across the variety of gifts that God has given the church. And that is a teaching that we need today, that each one of us brings something special to the faith community and to the world. And so we simply ask, what is it that God is up to? And what is God doing in this place? What is God doing in the church at large and in this neighborhood and in the lives of people within the fold of this congregation and the lives of those beyond it who we reach in a variety of ways? Or in a simple, concise statement, what is the Pentecost experience that is happening here at Desert Skies United Methodist Church? You know, there are some congregations that have never asked the question about their reason for being. There are people who are used to talking about God, but not sure how to differentiate what God might be up to from what one other group or another out there on the ground is doing in the world today. So Paul gives us more than three, but I'm going to name three criteria for maybe helping us understand our own personal Pentecost experience. First, what is God up to? Well, through God's Spirit, God is first of all bearing witness to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And as we learned through our experience and our walk through the Bible, there are a lot of ways of interpreting what that scripture needs. And so what's happening here, what are we up to, is engaging in those conversations and what kind of a difference that makes in our world today. And so Paul writes, "No one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." So according to the Apostle Paul, one way to know whether or not a movement is led by the Spirit of God is to listen for its claims and conversations about Jesus. The Spirit makes Jesus known to us in the cross, in the supper, and through the incarnation and the resurrection. By the Spirit, the church testifies that Jesus, not money, not security, self-esteem, paranoia, power, or anything else, is Lord. And God, from God's Spirit, gifts from God's Spirit proclaim that Jesus is the answer to many of the questions that we have today. And they also serve the common good. So Paul's second criterion for discerning the work of the Holy Spirit points to the Spirit's interest in the common life of those whom it draws together. So just as the Spirit is about talking of Jesus as Lord and Savior, so the Spirit is all about building up the group rather than enriching individuals. And so Paul writes, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So individuals receive gifts from the Spirit, yet each gift is given for the body as a whole. And this implies that if a gift cannot be shared and shared for the good of others, that is not a gift from the Spirit. It might be a gift, but we wouldn't call that a gift of the Spirit. And it also implies that any attempt to rank individuals according to their possession of better gifts would be at odds with each gift's common purpose for the good of all. Now, if you have ever heard somebody say, I'm not gifted, or, well, I can't sing or preach or count money or whatever, so therefore I am not gifted by the Spirit. If you have ever had those thoughts yourself or heard other people say that, we need to disabuse ourselves of that conversation and nip it in the bud right away. Because just like a body, as Paul says, every single gift is used to make us work effectively and to be blessed by the Spirit of God. Now, the third clue that Paul offers to us as we try to answer what God is up to in a particular place is sort of a negative criterion. Because whatever God's Spirit is doing, it will probably not be characterized by tidiness. Let me put that in another way. When you're looking for the gifts of a Spirit, look for a bit of a mess. Because the Spirit tends to be messy and a little bit chaotic. And some of us can get all bent out of shape when the Spirit is at work. So that means, among other things, that the fact that you did not think of it, or the fact that maybe we've never, ever, ever done it before, whether you're a member of the church for a really long time, or you're the pastor, or you're the church council, or maybe even the Apostle Paul, just because you didn't think of it is not enough to say that it's a bad idea. Amen? Amen. So the Corinthians were the original enthusiasts, giving every evidence of manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And they loved the dramatic external things. So they were really into speaking in tongues and interpreting in tongues and prophesying and healing, things that everybody could see happening in a very dramatic way. But sadly, at the same time, they ignored the quieter work of the Spirit that would draw them into a community that respects all of its members. One of the things we read about when we read the story in the letters to the Corinthians is that this was a people who couldn't even share the Lord's Supper together without getting into fights over who was bringing the best food and who had the most. It had become a competition to see who could provide the best communion experience. So when Paul tries to redirect the Corinthians' attraction for spiritual gifts for their own sake rather than for the common good of the community, it's not because he's trying to put them in a certain box or get them to do things in a certain way or, you know, to follow tradition to a T. It's because he is trying to erase the differences that seem to be dividing them as a community. And so Paul directs Corinthians to the still more excellent way of faith and hope and love, because that way will bring them back to valuing one another more than their own knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, miracles, tongues, and all the rest of the things that they seem to be demonstrating so beautifully. So the person sitting next to you in the pew, or kneeling alongside you at the altar rail, that person, that brother and sister in Christ, matters more than all the spiritual gifts individually had within this congregation. Paul's goal is not a tidy community, but a loving one. So how do we know that the work of the Holy Spirit is among us? Well, the Spirit proclaims Jesus as Lord, offers its gifts to the church for the common good, and activates love for our neighbor. And those criteria give us a place to start as we continue to look for what God is doing in our own churches and neighborhoods today. Like never before, we are in this unique position to compare ourselves with the rest of the world. Social media, television, movies, they give all of us a mirror to which we compare ourselves to others. And it can feel like there's always someone out there who is prettier or more handsome, smarter, more athletic, more adventurous, more gifted, more connected to God, more spiritual, and just all around more. And that is why Pentecost and the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst matters. You are intentionally, lovingly, carefully, creatively crafted by God. And you have the spiritual gifts that are given to you expressly for the common good of this congregation and the neighborhood in which we live and work. You may be the very reason that someone finds hope in this life and chooses to live. If anyone ever tells you that the church is irrelevant or dated or dead, don't buy into it. It is more relevant now than ever before, but we are the conduits of that Spirit that makes it so. So keep your eyes open for opportunities to explore the works of the Spirit this summer. We're working on some conversations and experiences that will help all of us grow, but the opportunities are every single place you find yourself present in this community. And I pray that during this Pentecost season, we can set aside the mirror and the comparisons and the judgments and the criticism and simply rest in that the body of Christ in this place is infused with the Holy Spirit and all the gifts that are necessary for us to do what God calls us to do, that those gifts are present in this collective body, and that the same God who created the entire planet created every single one of us, a one-of-a-kind marvel of whom God said it was very good, and that we come to an ever greater awareness of the Holy Spirit at work in our midst. God made you. Wow. Amen.